regarding the publishing work. After this, I attended two committee meetings and presented the true condition of things in the Echo office. This institution had been gathering up branches of work which it was not able to carry, and this was hampering, entangling, and impeding its forces. Too many lines of work were carried on, which were merely dead weights. Seemingly a labored effort was being made to keep up appearances for the sake of appearance. The publication of the Echo was being made at continual loss. Jobs were secured at altogether too low a price, and loss was the result. Funds were being sunk in nearly all lines that were being carried forward. There was not sufficient business ability in the office, or wise generalship, to bind up the work in a way that would save expense. I was shown that this was not the way to do business. It is not the will of our Heavenly Father that his work should be so conducted as to be in continual embarrassment. The office should not be eaten up by its own expenses. Work that could not be done without this cost should be abandoned. If a remedy was to be found for the condition of things in the office, its business must be searched to the very bottom. The intellect must work, as it had not yet done, to find out by close investigation the cause of the debts incurred. I said that a decided change was needed in the management of the publishing house. True soul conversion was needed, a deeper and wider interest in one another and the work of the institution. Words of reproof had been uttered on the impulse of the moment, without any definite aim. The words had been said that were vague, with the result that no one in particular was helped or enlightened. Some of the workers were not willing to help and instruct their fellow workmen. Those who were inexperienced did not wish their ignorance to be known. They made many mistakes, at a cost of much time and material, because they were too proud or too self-willed to seek instruction. This ignorance could have been avoided if those at the work had shown kindness and love toward each other. The workers in the Echo office had very little insight into the right methods of obtaining success. They were working at cross purposes with each other. The office was sick throughout all its departments. The trouble was not difficult to define. Instead of regarding themselves as a part of the whole, threads which must be drawn into the fabric to make the pattern perfect, the workers had stood apart in independence. There could be no vitality, no decided progress, until the workers followed Christian principle. They needed to be soundly converted to the truth. Devotion to God, conscientious, prayerful work for the Master, would bring unity. With Christ abiding in the heart, they would try to bring Christian consecration into all their duties, great and small. And in the act of working heartily as unto the Lord, raising the thoughts above the ordinary level of business life, they would be blessed. The Lord's work has many branches. The ways in which he condescends to use the human agent are numerous. As God's steward, each man and woman has a work to perform, and each is given capabilities which qualify him for his work. If those in responsible positions in the office put aside all selfishness, all envy, if they faithfully weigh the probabilities and possibilities of the work, they will see that those who are employed in the office who could be a better work outside of the office be placed where they can use their ability to the best purpose. Each worker should be on his guard, determined to bind about the edges of his department, realizing that it is his duty to give brain, bone, and muscle to the work, that it may be made a success. If, however, the workers have consideration for the income and outgo, how can the work be executed without friction? How can the workers keep in a cheerful, Christ-like frame of mind? The question should be asked, what work shall the office do, and yet stand on a paying basis? Those who teach the truth to others should realize the importance of learning from Christ, just as the little child learns from its teacher. Otherwise, what good will he accomplish? What will his labors result in? Those who realize their inefficiency, who feel that they do not know half what they should know, will not be satisfied with any low standard. Those connected with our publishing houses, where the truth of God is being handled, should feel that they are on holy ground. They need to feel daily the converting power of God. For years, the voice of God has been speaking to them. Angels of God cooperate with the worker who is consecrated and who works with pure and holy motives, seeking ever to do the will of God.
Every association leaves an impression upon the character. The letters that are written sow either seeds of tares or wheat. Our thoughts, our words, the spirit on which we perform our daily duties, all act their part in the formation of character. The workers in our institutions are either devoted servants of Christ, or they are under the leadership of the enemy. They are abiding in the true vine, partaking of the divine nature, or they are imbibing the spirit of pride and self-indulgence. Imperceptibly, worldly influences affect the mind and form the character. If the mind does not appreciate high and holy influences, it must be appropriating to itself those that are low and debasing. If there is not a growth in piety and grace, there is a growth in worldliness and sin. Pages 31 to 49, missing.